This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
In all honesty, I don't really know why they've invited me to give a talk. I'm sure many of you saw me last week on Ladypool Road. If not Ladypool Road, Alamok Road. I think they had time. They had a gap. And they needed somebody to fill it. So I think that's why I've been invited. But alhamdulillah, Tayyib, mashallah, gives me the opportunity to speak to my locals about something I think we all need to really think about, and that is our existence in this country and the longevity of our existence in this country. And I want to elaborate, and I'll take some excerpts from a talk which the famous India subcontinent scholar Sheikh Abul Hasan Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi gave in 1982, which is, if my math serves me right, around about 40 years plus. And interesting, listen, this is where he gave it. He gave it in Dewsbury Markaz. So you know the Tablighi Markaz in Dewsbury, where they generally speak about the 6 points. Sheikh Abul Hasan Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi happened to be there, and he said, and he was there at the inauguration of this masjid. And he said, I want to speak to you about something very important. And he said, I could praise you. Allah has given me a fantastic vocabulary. And I could shower many, many other praises upon you. But I want to speak to you from my heart today. And he said, this is about your existence in this country. 1982. He said, if you look into the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave da'wah for 20 years plus. Only a handful of people embraced Islam. But from the 7th to the 10th, the last 3 years after Fateh Makkah to the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many people embraced Islam. What was the reason for this? So Imam Zuhri rahmatullah alayhi mentions that this was the time where people had the ability to see Islam for what it really was, not the stereotype. People had the ability now to interact with the Muslims, speak to the Muslims, engage in the with the Muslims. So Sheikh says that you derive a lesson from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that as believers, listen to this very carefully, brothers and sisters, that as believers, you cannot live an insular life. You cannot live in your areas. Your Islam cannot be limited to your masjids. Islam must be seen in your lives. It must be seen in the marketplace where you work, in your areas. Everybody must see your Islam, because the mushrikeen saw the Islam of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they entered the deen of Wajah, army upon army, army upon army. And then Sheikh says, if you live an insular life, in the talk he mentioned insular 4 times. He said, if you live an insular life, and the day comes that the host community start disliking you, racism is the flavor of the year, religious bigotry is the flavor of the year, then he says, I fear that your existence in this country will be untenable. Brothers, sisters, you've seen for the last 20 plus years how you and I, the Muslim community, have become the fifth columners. I want to ask you a question. I don't care if you're a millionaire. I don't care if you're a doctor. I don't care if you're an MP. I don't care if you're a sheikh. All of you are regarded as fifth columners. All of you are regarded as the boogeymen. Let me ask you a question. How does it work? A Christian choir singing Rwandan boy unfortunately stabbed some girls. They don't go after Rwandans. They don't go after Africans. They don't go after Christians. They burn your masajid. They go into your areas. They go after the Muslim community because they were praying. Many were praying that it is the Muslims. Unfortunately, it wasn't the Muslims, but they still think, who can we bitch slap? Who are the easiest targets? They said the Muslims. The Muslim community. And they go for the Muslim community. You saw what happened in the Netherlands with the Maccabi Football Club. This is a club which is known to be hooligans. They come into the Netherlands, they are chanting genocidal rhetoric. The locals, the local Muslim community stand up. And what do the local politicians say? They say that if we find out that anybody, any Muslims, any Moroccans who are involved in this are dual nationals, we will remove them from our country. You heard Gert Wilder say this? You tell me in the history of Europe, recent 20, 30, 40, 50 years, that this has ever happened, that the government goes against its own residents, own people, and sides with a hooligan football club. Why? Because you and I, unfortunately, are regarded as fifth columners. And therefore, you and I now need to understand that this is history repeating itself. Never, never believe that your existence in this country is permanent. There were places, as Sheikh Abul Hassan Nadwi says, which were far greater than your places, far greater than these majma, far greater than your masajid, far greater than your madaris. And he speaks about Spain. You know Muslim Spain, you know Cordoba. How many guys have been to the Cordoba masjid? Put your hands up. A few. You know the Cordoba masjid once upon a time was the second largest masjid in the world. The only masjid which was larger than the Cordoba masjid in the world was the Haram in Makkah. The greatest scholars of the time came from this place. The Imam Qurtubis, the Imam Shatibis, the Imam Hazm. Ibn Abdul Barr, the famous Maliki scholar, never left the shores of Spain to seek knowledge. The greatest scholars of the day came from this place. Then came a time that there was not one Muslim there. Today you go to the Cordoba Masjid. You know, and you can't even pray two rakats in the second largest masjid in the world. You know how advanced Spain was? Cordoba had street lamps before London and Paris, not 10, not 20, not 30 years. 700 years. The whole of Europe had no concept of baths. The whole of Europe had no concept of gardens. They had small libraries where Spain had huge libraries. So what happened, brothers? What happened? What happened is that people got very comfortable. People thought that they were going to live there for eternity. And then a time came that not one Muslim existed in that place. And Sheikh Abul Hassan Nadwi says, I sit here, we see Islam, wallahi. I go all over the world. And everybody speaks about the Islam in the UK. Because you live in a global society, everybody sees your dawah movement. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see the masajid, we see the madaris, we see the shabab here. But never become complacent, because a day may come, subhanallah, that your existence in this country may be untenable. And then Sheikh says, he says, find your place in this country. Contribute positively. Don't just work. Don't be leeches. Don't be parasites. Add value to the community. I want to ask you guys from Birmingham. I'm sure many of you are from Birmingham around areas. We are the people where half our deen is cleanliness. We are the people who are organized. Go into the inner city areas. Go into Alum Rock, go into Sparkbrook, go into Small Heath, go into all the Muslim areas. Defunct areas. Drive from the Saltley roundabout up to the old Rock pub. It takes you half an hour. It should take you 2 minutes. Double parking? Double parking? Every time I go up there, there's some bus stuck there. You go into our areas, most dirtiest areas. You got Porsches parked there, you got Range Rovers parked there, and you look at the state of the areas. Why? Because you and me don't care about community, and that's a reality. As long as your cousin's safe, as long as your uncle's safe, you have no concept of community. Zero concept of community. And then you talk about Ansar and Muhajirun and the community that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam created. You're divided on every issue. Divided on your religion, divided on your race. You know when the government, the Islamophobes, make a policy against you, do you think they see Somalian? Do you think they see Afro-Caribbean? Do you think they see Pakistani, Bengali, Arab? No. They see one, and that is Islam. The only people who don't see one are the Muslims. The only one. You think Priti Patel, Indian, Swala Braverman, Indian, when they make a policy, they say, you know what? One to discriminate against everybody besides my Indian Muslims. Do you think she says that? They all see you as one. But we don't see ourselves as one. Masjid divided. You know, Sheikh speaks about the masajid, the great masajid in Spain. You got now, subhanAllah, masajid divided. Either it belongs to this group or belongs to that group. And if it don't belong to that group, it belongs to the Somalians, it belongs to Pakistani masjid, it belongs to Bengali masjid, it belongs to Arab masjid. Even the house of Allah are recognized by the race of our race. And then what happens? These masajid. And I'm not giving a fatwa here. But I want you to think about something, brothers and sisters. The Muslim community last year spent £1 billion in charity. The average Muslim is four times more generous than the average Brit. But the question is, if you spent £1 billion last year, where did that £1 billion go? See, all our charity, much of our charity goes abroad. Now, we should go abroad, alhamdulillah. Syria, Palestine, Somalia, Rohingyas, all need your help and need more help. But what about this country? What about your longevity in this country? Where's your think tanks? Where's your masajid which actually work for the community? So I'm not giving a fatwa, dare I give a fatwa, but I'm giving a suggestion. You know, next time you're in Jummah, and you and the bucket comes around, before you put your money into the bucket, think about the fact, what does this masjid do for my community? What does this masjid do for my youth? What does this masjid do for our women folk? What transparency does this masjid have? And if you see nothing, then get off your backside, go to another masjid and give the money to that masjid. Because what you are doing, you are perpetuating the stereotype. You are carrying on. There's no transparency. You don't know how much is in the account, but you're still giving money. And I'm not giving a fatwa. I don't want people now to make this excuse for not giving. What I'm saying, give. But give to those who will do something worthwhile with your money. Give to a Sufa Institute. Only joking, yeah? Give to those masajid which will invest. Because that money, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that he would spend money wisely. You know, when the Messenger of Allah came into Medina, you know who the economy was in the hands of the Jews, although they were a minority. So the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba, he said, find a place where we can establish a marketplace. So the Sahaba find this place, the Messenger of Allah goes there, and he erects a tent. Ka'b ibn Ashraf comes, and he kicks the tent. And he says, Muslims will not have their marketplace here. Then the Prophet ﷺ tells the Sahaba, go somewhere else. So then they find another place. And the Prophet ﷺ went there, and he stamped like this. And he said, this will be our marketplace. The Muslims established their marketplace. The Muslims would deal with each other initially. Money would go around in their community. And then the mushrikeen saw the manners of the Muslims and the akhlaq of the Muslims. And they said, listen, forget buying from those other people. These Muslims are something else. These Muslims are something else. We're gonna buy from the marketplace of the Muslims. Question today, brothers. Wallahi, I don't say this out of any happiness. You employ a Muslim to do work, he's got no ethics, he's got no moral, often. And then you are forced to hire a non-Muslim. Subhanallah, where's all our teachings gone? Where's all our teachings gone? You know, every time, masjid, let me come back to masjid. You know, every time a masjid has an issue with another masjid, so the committee break up, what do? They open another masjid down the road. Who pays for that masjid? Question, I really want to ask you, who pays for that masjid? You do. He's had beef with the other committee members, and who's paying for it? You are, because they know they can do that. We are the only community who have masajid which are £1 million, opens half an hour before salah, closes half an hour after salah. You pay more for your minarets and your sajadas and your musallas than you would pay your imam in 20 years. So what do you invest in? You invest in carpets. You invest in bricks, like if anybody got guidance through a minaret. But you're not ready to invest in people. As I've started, let me just finish. Hands up. All those guys, brothers and sisters, who have gone to the maktab system, the 5 to 7, either every day or weekend. Hands up. Only 2-3. Hands up, come on, don't be shy, I'm going to batter you. I know you're scared of the Mawlana Sahab. Hands up. In your lifetime, when you were kids, you went to the maktab system, 5 to 7. Okay, now, mashallah. See, your problem is you've been traumatized by the Mawlana. See, we were also, in our old, we are 40 years. You know, some of us still have the physical scars. Mawlana Sahab had a bad day, he just slap you. And if we don't have the physical scars, we got the psychological scars. But my question is this is really important. Weekend maktab, and I really, wallahi, this one really hurts me. How is it that we are the only single community, no Jews, no Christians, no Hindus, no Sikhs, have a madrasa system? Besides the Muslim community, literally every single individual, either weekends or weekdays, for 7 to 8 years goes through the maktab system. Then now, how is it that you're 5% of the community and you're 17% in jails? How is it? How is it you spend? And I'm not blaming you guys. I'm blaming our system, the way we teach. How is it after 7 years of that guy coming into the masjid 5 days a week, only community, Muslims, learning about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he ends up a drug dealer, ends up a social misfit, ends up a nuisance to society. You know why, brothers? I'll tell you why. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you why. Because honestly, we need to really start rethinking how we approach our religion. And how we teach our religion. And how we teach our priorities. The maktab system for me is the most powerful thing that we have in the UK. If taught rightly. 7 years you go to the masjid for 5 days a week. How is it after spending so much time learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're 17% going up all the time in jails? So let me come back to my favorite topic, the masajid. Guys, when you go to the masjid, when you invest in a masjid, invest in those masajid which will add value to your community. Not divide your community. You know, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were these munafiqeen. And these munafiqeen decided to build a masjid. So they said to the Messenger of Allah, come to our masjid and stay in our masjid. Pray 2 rakats in our masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'm going on a expedition. Once I come back, I will come to your masjid. So the Messenger of Allah comes back and they invite him to the masjid, and the Prophet ﷺ, the verse, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَشْدًا دِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Those who take their masjid as a source of harm and a source of disbelief, وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and to divide the believers. You know what Sheikh Sharawi says here, rahmatullah alayhi? He says, those individuals who decide to make another masjid because they don't get on with the members of the committee, and they decide to build another masjid, they fall into this category, the tafriqan bayna al-mu'mineen. They divide between the believers. We still have masjids, Habibi. We still have masjids where the constitution says to be a member of this committee, you have to be Somalian, you have to be Pakistani, you have to be Gujarati. Yeah, you know, this is a jeep. I'll tell you why it's a jeep. Imagine I go into a masjid, I'm Pakistani, I go into a masjid which says the constitution. Now, I don't know if any Somali masjids have that. I know that maybe they do. Just say if they do. Their constitution says to be a member of this masjid committee, you have to be Somalian. Money come, they bring the bucket around, I drop a tenner inside. I am giving a masjid money which is being racist towards me. Now, understand something, and I make this clear. My talk is not about you not start giving, because people want excuses not to give, isn't it? They want excuses. Oh, look, Maulana said, this masjid, I ain't giving no masjid until I read the constitution. And you're never going to read the constitution. You know you ain't going to read the constitution. So I ain't giving no money. But what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, if you, wallahi, I never seen this. I was around when they were racist towards the blacks, 80s and 90s, against the Irish. But I've never seen the way they've been racist towards the Muslim community. It's 25 years now, and it gets from bad to worse. And the only people who are going to change the situation is you and I. You have to be that person where Allah says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas." You are the best of people taken out for who? Allah doesn't say lil mu'mineen. Allah says linnas, that humanity must see your good. Reflect. Reflect about yourself. In your community, in your masjid, in your homes, with your wife, with your children, with your parents. Are you that person? Are you that person that people say and say, yeah man, that's what I want to be like. This is a Muslim. Muslims add value to our community. But wallahi, when I look around, it hurts me. I'm not here just to run everybody down. I'm a part of the problem. But if you don't talk about the problem, as Sheikh Abul Hassan Nadwi says in his talk, he said, I could talk about something else. But I'm going to be plain with you today. Because you might never hear what I have to say. And then right at the end of the talk, Sheikh Abul Hassan Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi says, you can see online, it's an amazing talk. Everything he says is coming to pass. He says, I could have given you a talk on the virtues of the dhikr of Allah, because he's in the Tablighi Markaz. But he says, I don't want to. Because maybe you will never hear these words again. And brothers and sisters, my request, if you really care about the longevity of your existence in this country, because history never waits for somebody, and you care about your children, then start rethinking where you invest your money. Give abroad, give plenty abroad, give more abroad, because the more you give, more Allah will give you. But invest in here as well. Invest in men and women. Make your legacy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you Brumis and everybody around. May Allah give you strength. May Allah strengthen your communities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a source of khair for us in the dunya and the akhirah. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has united us here, may Allah unite us in Jannah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.